Psalm chapter 98. We'll be in the book of Psalms two more weeks. Next Sunday night, and then the first Sunday of the month in September, and then we'll be in 1 Corinthians. So, Lord willing, 3 weeks we'll be in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. It'll be a great book, and we won't finish that before I leave. And so, but we'll have a great time. Great time. It's just going to be good. Going to be good for us. Here's the two books. You'll say, man, they are not connected at all. The two books I was toying with covering were 1 Corinthians or Book of Revelation. You're like, what do they? But I think the Lord wanted me to do 1 Corinthians. So we'll see. And then we'll figure out when I'll do Book of Revelation again. Psalm 98, 9 verses. Let's read it. Title of the message, Praise the Lord for Salvation. I'm going to give you the inside scoop already. I believe this psalm is all about salvation. And we see it in the first verse talking about praising Him for His marvelous works and His strength and His might and His right hand and His right arm. It is all about salvation. You're going to see that, but let's look at this. Oh, sing unto the Lord a new song with a new topic. Oh, sing unto the Lord a new song, for He hath done marvelous things. His right hand and His holy arm hath gotten Him the victory. The Lord hath made known His salvation. His righteousness hath He openly showed in the sight of the heathen. He hath remembered His mercy and His truth toward the house of Israel. All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all the earth. Make a loud noise and rejoice and sing praise. Sing unto the Lord with the harp and the voice of the psalm, of a psalm. With trumpets and sound of cornet, make a joyful noise before the Lord the King. Let the sea roar and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. Let the floods clap their hands. Let the hills be joyful together before the Lord, for He cometh to judge the earth with righteousness. Shall He judge the world and the people with equity. It's interesting, and the people with equity, right? You hardly ever, if ever, in this pulpit ever heard me say, what is fair? I don't even know. But God judges everybody with equity. If there's a word in the Bible that would be close, the closest word to fair, it would be with equity. He treats everybody with equity. He treats everybody properly, fairly. But the word I generally use is He always administers justice. He does everything that's right and just. And so He doesn't treat everybody equally. He's no respecter of persons. You don't get special privileges because you have your name, of your heritage. And so none of that, but just find that interesting. He will judge the world and the people with equity. Praise the Lord for salvation. Just look at this. It says in verse 1, it says, sing unto the Lord. Sing unto the Lord a new song. We've seen that. I think we just saw it in Psalm 96. If I go back, look at Psalm 96. Oh, sing unto the Lord a new song. And now this new song, I believe, in Psalm 98 would be the new song about the Lord's, and here's what it is, new song, for He hath done marvelous things. It says His right hand and holy arm has gotten the victory. Now, I believe all of this is about the salvation of the Lord. I believe that's why this psalm was written. It's to sing unto the Lord a new song, to praise Him for His salvation and all that He has done with that. So when you think of this, for He has done marvelous things, it's interesting. And even when it says in the end of verse 1, and hath gotten Him the victory, Christ has not yet been sacrificed. How can, if this is about salvation, how can the Bible talk about, for He has done marvelous works, His right hand and His holy arm hath gotten Him the victory? I think it's when God pronounces something, it's as good as done. I want you to understand, it also helps us understand how could anyone be saved by faith in Christ who had not yet sacrificed Himself? Because God's Word is so veracious, so truthful, so without error, so pure, that when God says it, it will happen, and you could be saved before Christ was sacrificed. Christ had to be sacrificed. I don't know how it all works, but somehow time and eternity are starkly different. Okay, I know that's like rocket science to say that, right? But I don't know how it looks to God. You know, I've told you this before. When I get to heaven, my father-in-law will have been there. It will be it'll be 23 years this year, this October. 22. It was 2003, 22 years. 22 years. I think when I get to heaven, I'll be like, I just got here. I'll be like, no, you didn't. You've been here for, hopefully I'll be like, 61 years. You've been here for, you know, hopefully it won't be like 22 years, just shy of it. And that wouldn't be good. So it could be good because God's good. But it is, I just want you to understand this. It's as good as done when God says it. Singing to the Lord a new song, I think we should praise Him. I think we should thank Him for His salvation. I think for He has done marvelous things. His right hand and His holy arm has gotten the victory. I do love this. His right hand and His holy arm. God doesn't have a hand or an arm, but what it's talking about is His strength. I love the thought I read that, you know, it's sort of like His, in His holy arm, it's like He rolled up His sleeve to do the really hard work. There's nothing hard for God, but I've said this 100 times. If there was anything hard, it was the eternal damnation that Jesus Christ took. The weight that was coming upon Him even before He went to the cross caused Him in the Garden of Gethsemane to, and I still study it, I still try to understand it, Father, not my will, take this cup from me, but not my will, but thine. And He said it 3 times. And then when He went to the cross, there was no hesitation. He protected the apostles. There was no doubt. We cannot understand, but His right hand and His holy arm has gotten the victory. It takes God nothing. He spoke the universe into existence, and He couldn't speak your forgiveness of sins into existence. He had to physically take your punishment. That ought to blow our mind just a little bit. He had to come into time, become a man. He had to then suffer, and He had to then take upon Himself our sin. He couldn't speak your forgiveness without His sacrifice. That's mind-blowing. He could speak the universe into existence, but He can't speak forgiveness of sins. No, He couldn't, and be just. And so it's His right hand and His holy arm has gotten Him to victory. The Lord has made known, verse 2, He says this, the Lord has made known what? His salvation and His righteousness has He shown openly to the heathen. It says this, look at this, verse 2, the Lord hath made known His salvation. His righteousness hath He openly showed in the sight of the heathen. Just think about that. The Lord is good. He wants everybody to know about salvation. He wants everybody to see His righteousness. He wants everyone to know who He is. That's the theme of the Bible. It should be our theme. How do we glorify? How do we honor Christ? It's by exalting Him. It's by lifting Him up. It's by praising Him. It's by speaking of Him. It's by living for Him so that the world might know that there is a God in the universe and that we answered Him. I've showed you in Romans 9 that He took Pharaoh through that. He said that the world might know who the Lord is. And through the 10 plagues, He did that. The Lord has made known His salvation, His righteousness He has shown openly to the heathen. I'm going to go into this just in a little bit, but I want to just show you this. He has remembered His mercy and truth toward Israel. I love this. Look at verse 3. He hath remembered His mercy and truth toward the house of Israel. And I think He will continue to do that. And so He won't forget that, right? And so it's He remembers His promises to Abraham and his descendants. The only way that a Jew can be saved is the same way that you and I are saved, by faith in Jesus Christ. But there is one nation that He made some promises to, and He said He hath remembered and He will remember His mercy and truth toward the nation of Israel. And then I love this. It says, all the ends of the earth. Look at this. All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God. All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God. You're going to see, I'm going to go into some detail. This isn't the only spot that talks about this, and we'll be very clear that all the ends of the earth have heard the gospel. We're going to show you verses. I think I've talked to many of you about it in the past, but it's so fascinating, right? All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God. So I'll ask you guys this question, then I'll try to remember to answer it later. I'll probably forget. I hear this all the time. What about the people that never hear the gospel? I don't believe there's any such thing. Find me one example in the Bible that ever indicates that at all. I don't think that happens. I don't think there's anyone that dies without being confronted with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Period. That's why they'll be held so accountable for their unbelief. I'll show you two instances in the Bible that say every creature has heard the gospel at that point that the scriptures were written. So I want to ask you this. So you guys are, I can't tell. Is it a Sunday night? And you're just a little bit like, so I don't believe, you know, so when anybody asks me that, say, what about the people that never hear? You know, I'll play with them as well. And it's the first thing I'll say is, because when people ask me that question, what about the people that never hear the gospel? I don't believe there's any such people. But when they ask me that question, here's their premise. Surely, if someone hasn't heard the message of the gospel, there has to be some accommodation that God would make. That's the inference, right? Isn't that why they'd ask that question? And so I'm like, oh! You know, I play with them for a little bit, then I'll give them my real answer. I said, I don't think there's such a thing. And I'll say, well, and I'll ask them, and this is usually the answer. So what do you think will happen to people that never hear the gospel? Well, you know, I get all kinds of new doctrine. I just believe that God knows their heart, and I want to say, and it's desperately wicked. He just knows their heart, and as long as it's sincere to what they've been taught, then, you know, he'll take that into account. He will in their damnation. You understand this? If people not hearing would get them the gospel, here's what the Bible should say. I was down in Tampa. You know, we had Ellie and Callum. Callum now knows us. And so, you know, Callum was throwing a fit one afternoon. He's not a fit kind of guy. He's a really kind of chill kind of guy. And he's just always like Jabba the Hutt. Just sitting back, relaxing, checking things out and going, peace, brother. And so he had a bad afternoon one time. We came back from a park and he fell asleep for about 5-10 minutes. Every parent knows that. You're like, hey, stay awake. Because, you know, they fall asleep. Then they get home, they're like, I've napped. No, you haven't, my friend. And so then we put him down for his nap, and, you know, he throws everything out of his crib, and he's standing there just throwing a fit. And, you know, Deb does the woman thing, which is good, nurturing, loving, right? And so after a while, I said, I'm going to go and deal with it like a man. She said, you better not. And so some of you heard this story. I walk in, I said, Callum, down, boom. He got it. He's 14 months, man, but he knew down and shh. And then, you know, he was already hyperventilating, so he, you know. And so if people going to heaven, there's a little related to that. People going to heaven, it's just catch your attention too. People going to heaven would be you saying nothing. Shh. That's not what the Bible says. In fact, the Bible answers that question in John 3 that says they're condemned already, and my pronouncement of the gospel to them doesn't condemn them. You understand? They're in trouble. They're in trouble. And so all the ends of the earth have... Oh, so here's my question. Second question. First question. Do you believe there's anybody that ever dies without having understanding of the gospel? I don't think I can prove it. Second, I'll ask you this. Let me ask you. Jalee, you have to give me an answer. Oh, are you going to give, what's that? You shake your head, yes or no. You're already talking, so you've already violated that. So Jalea, are we the only means by which God gives the gospel to humanity? I don't think so. Because what that would mean is, you guys all know this, and I hate this. I don't preach to make you feel bad. I know, so you're like, oh, I'm not sure about that. I want us to be convicted and go do what's right, but I know most of you, and I know you love the Lord, you'd say, I fail more than I succeed sharing the gospel. And this is not to bring an excuse, but I'll show you in Scripture that, and I don't know how God does it. I don't have all the answers because he didn't give us the detail. But in order for every creature to have heard the gospel, it wasn't by humanity. I don't have all the answers for that. So all the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of the Lord. Not going to be the first time we see that. I think we should rejoice. And for this cause, the Bible says, for this cause, look at verse 4. He says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all the earth. Make a loud noise and rejoice and sing praises. We should rejoice. I'm telling you this, every single person in this room should rejoice. If you're saved, oh, you should rejoice better than those that aren't saved. But if you're lost, if you don't have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, you should rejoice that provision has been made for you and you have a God that cares. You should rejoice. Rejoice, he says, make a joyful noise unto the land, all the earth. Because God has made a way for us to be made right with him. That's the best news. That's the greatest news that we could ever share. But people have been fooled by the devil. They don't think they're in trouble. We're in trouble. We're in trouble. So for this cause, all the things about his strength, his power, his marvelous works, for this cause make a joyful noise. It says, look at verse 5. 5 and 6, sing unto the Lord with the harp and the voice of a psalm, right? With trumpets and sound of cornet, making a joyful noise before the Lord, the King. Sing unto the Lord with instruments. I love instruments. You know, and it ought to be the praise. I love our music. I don't think our music is drowned out by instruments. But I think I love having instruments. I don't get where people say, oh, you know, we shouldn't have instruments. You know, I mean, okay. Whip out a harp. I mean, a trumpet. You know how loud a trumpet would be in this room? Oh, we've had a trumpet in here before. And, you know, a trumpet and a harp and a cornet. And he's just, you know what? It's this. God made us to love music. And instruments. I told you about this Church of Christ girl that worked for me. And she was at the one that didn't have instruments, right? And, you know, Church of Christ believed they could lose your salvation, so every Monday I'd ask her, did you lose it this weekend? You know, I'm so terrible. And she thought being hired at Procter & Gamble was a blessing until I became her boss. And Rick Springfield, right, the guy with the dog that has the big black thing on his eye, Rick Springfield, I think that's the guy's name. You guys are too young not knowing that. But I could tell that Rachel Hott knows who Rick Springfield is. She's like, I'd better not let him know. Burn the albums, Rachel, burn the albums. But so she would listen to secular music. You know my advice for you? I wouldn't. You know, and we can, I don't think it's wise. Okay, that would be my instruction. I doubt we're going to have any music that's not about the Lord in heaven. So I'm not picking on you. I'm just giving you good advice. When I was 16, God changed my life. So here's the crazy thing. She wouldn't have instruments in her church service, but man, she listened to Rick Springfield, who had all kinds of instruments. And he wasn't like, he was kind of a light rock kind of thing, right? And I just told her, I said, you know, you might challenge me with your conviction if you were consistent. I said, but you don't listen to music inside the church walls, but you leave those church walls and you listen to music that's not about God at all. And I said, I listened to some lyrics that Rick Springfield had, and they're all not good. And here's the thing. It's make a joyful noise, but it's use instruments. God knows this. I mean, the most musical creation that he made was the devil, Lucifer, Satan. Right? Don't be surprised. He's the prince of the power of the air. And so my encouragement to you is make a joyful noise in the Lord. Sing unto the Lord with instruments. I love it. Sing unto the Lord with instruments. We ought to make this woof just rise off. We ought to just sing unto the Lord. And then he says this, and I love this, verse 7 and 8. I told you I was going to go faster in this, and you guys are like, whoa, you've been super excited tonight. What's going on? You must not be feeling well. I told you this. I'm on a diet. Okay, this is a freebie. I'm on a diet, so I haven't had Diet Mountain Dew for 11 days, except at Bill's. He was like the serpent that slithered up when I went over for a Bible study, and he's like, I have this. You know, and so I was like, I won't hurt me. And so Deb told Abby, she goes, your dad is not drinking Diet Mountain Dew. And she goes, he has to be having heart pains, Mom. There has to be something wrong with him. And it's not going well. It's not going well. No, it's not. I did it because I'm just testing this old diet out. I have the theory. I'll tell you about my theories later. It's unimportant. But I'm not sick, and the fact that I'm almost done with this chapter, I'm not sick yet because remember I told you about the addendum. We ought to sing, and we ought to make a joyful noise. We ought to sing unto the Lord with instruments, and let all creation praise him. Look at verse 7 and 8. It's just talking about creation. Let the sea roar, and the fullness thereof, the world, and they that dwell therein. It's a, praise the Lord. There is a way out. There is a way of salvation. Verse 8. Let the floods, the rivers, all the waters, let the floods clap their hands. Let the hills be joyful together. It is be excited, O earth, O person, O human. I'm telling you, the lost ought to be excited. And I'm excited for the lost. I'm not worrying about their response. I expect them. The lost people respond so much better than I anticipate. So that when they respond, nasty or not, I'm like, well, whether you appreciate it or not, best thing ever happened to you is that Jesus came to earth. Best thing is your only hope to get rid of your sins. And all creation will roar and does roar and does bring. And it says, in this says, he is coming to judge the earth in righteousness and equity. Look at verse 9, before the Lord. He said, let the floods clap their hands. Verse 8, let the hills be joyful together before the Lord. For he cometh to judge the earth. With righteousness shall he judge the world and the people with equity. I've talked about this just recently because it's been on my mind, just of the specific nature of God's judgment. And I ask people this all the time. I just ask people questions just to see if I can get their interest and draw them in. You know, I ask people this all the time. Coin, ask you, Anthony. You get the right answer? You get nothing. Is all, what's the bonus? I don't know. Is all sin the same? Oh, we did. No. It is. Now, you know where people get it? Right, so it's like this. I tell people this. If I stole a piece of butterscotch or killed Nassim, it's a little different, right? The butterscotch is far worse. If I stole butterscotch, it's still sin. Any sin can separate us from God. The Bible, guys, we look stupid as Christians and we go, all sins are equal. The Bible doesn't say that, right? So when God comes, and I ask people this all the time, are there different levels of sin? No. Well, from the very first sin, God treated Eve's sin different than Adam's. Was Eve in the transgression? Yes, she was, 1 Timothy chapter 2. And so like I've said 100 times, let's do it 101, all our sin go back to, all our problems go back to women. Amen? Bad joke, bad joke, bad joke, bad joke. Okay, have you ever said that from the pulpit? Okay, I've said it a lot behind the scenes, but that's not true, but Eve sinned, she was in the transgression, she sinned, but she was deceived. Still, enough to damn her soul. Adam was not deceived, and he had greater responsibility, and God justly and perfectly and equitably judged him. Do you see that? He did everything perfectly when he judged Adam more harshly, I'll use that word, it makes the word sound wrong, but it's not. It's righteous. It's righteous. He judged Adam because Adam knew God will, in all of this, when he comes to judge the earth, He will judge every single person. Understand this. People are damned because of unbelief. Their level of damnation is based on their works or their sin. Same thing. The Bible uses the term works in Revelation chapter 20. Works, their sin, because a lost person, all of their works are sin. Without faith, it is sin. So when the Bible uses that term works in Revelation 20, sin's fine work, because I saw your lips say sin, but it is. And God will justly, damnation will not be the same for everybody. He will perfectly mete out and equitably mete out justice. Hitler will have greater damnation than most. I told you the Bible says this. Jesus looked at the Pharisees and said, greater damnation hath no one than you. False religious leaders will be justly judged, and they will be more harshly judged because they damn souls to hell in the name of religion. The Bible says, be not many masters, for they shall receive the greater condemnation. Now, what I want to show you, did I do this? Yes, I wanted to show you this first slide. This first slide, I'm going to go back and I'm going to just try to talk about this. We want to sing a new song because of His salvation. The Lord has made known, He's made known His salvation, His righteousness He has shown openly to the heathen. All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of the Lord. And so is that talking about every single itty-bitty person? I believe so. And it's not the only time, so I just say this. It's not the only time that Scripture claims the gospel has gone to everyone. Let me show you the just two references. Colossians 1 is more powerful, I think, than Romans 10. But Romans 10, 17, 90% of you could have quoted that. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But I say, have they not heard? Yes, verily, their sound went into all the earth, and their words into the ends of the world. I'm telling you, Romans 10, 17, and 18 says, the gospel, so you say, oh, Steve, that is light, that is weak, you can't prove that. Well, Colossians 1, 23 proves it to a level of specificity that you're going to just be astounded. Colossians chapter 1, Paul speaking to believers, he says, if you continue in the faith grounded and settled, not that that is what keeps your salvation, but it's an evidence of your salvation, that you're saved, because an evidence will be if you continue in the faith grounded and settled and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which you have heard. So what have they heard? What have they heard? The gospel, which you have heard, and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven. What was preached to every creature which is under heaven? The gospel. Every commentary I read, you know what they say? Well, that's just hyperbole. Front row scholars. No prize. It's too expensive. Who thinks they know what hyperbole is? Or maybe the way you've seen it would be hyperbole. If you... All right. Nobody knows? Who wants to take a chance? All right, I get $5. So you guys don't seem to know. You guys are like, come on, Tom, I'm going to try. Hyperbole. Well, it might have a little rice in it. Maybe, you know, some peppers. It's hyperbole. It's extreme exaggeration to make a point. Is God using hyperbole here? No. I want to tell you this. When Colossians 1:23 was written, it says, if you continue in the faith grounded and settled and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which you have heard, and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister. I think it's very consistent with Psalm chapter 98, that when he says this in Psalm 98, he said that all the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of God. When he said, the Lord has made known His salvation, the Lord has made known His righteousness, He has shown openly to the heathen. Now what I want to show you is I just want to walk through a few things, man's problem. I'm going to show you man's problem, then I'm going to see if God has a solution for these problems, and these problems are real. No one understands or seeks after God. So I'm probably, some people might not like how I'm going to say it here, but you guys never hear me talk about free will, because here's what I believe. If man is left to his free will anyone believe? No. No. Because the Bible says, look at Romans chapter 3. Hang in there with me before you write me off. Romans chapter 3, verse 10, as is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. We use that all the time with people. But then verse 11, there is none that understandeth, there is none that seeketh after God. And so when I take people through this, and I'll take people through this early on, even before they're saved, I'll go, do you have to understand the gospel to be saved? Zach, do you have to understand the gospel to be saved? Oh, praise the Lord. I mean, I was going to be like, hey guys, I was going to tell Melissa, we got a new student for you next week. I'm just kidding, Zach. I wouldn't have made that joke if you'd have gotten it wrong. If you'd have said no, I'd have been like, no. You've got to understand. Where does understanding come from? The Holy Spirit. What the Bible's talking about here, there is none that understandeth, there is none that seeketh after God. Without God's intervention, no one will understand. Do you understand that? The fact that you're understanding that is of God. Remember when he says, Peter said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said, flesh and blood hath not revealed this to you, but my Father in heaven has revealed this to you. Understand that? You know, I'm working on my comprende, right? When my Spanish, I use that word and they're like, yes, we do. And so man's problem is no one understands or seeks after God. That's true. All right, second problem, to be saved, the Father must draw men. And when the Bible uses men, just for our ladies, it's dealing with mankind, okay, mankind. John 6:44, Jesus says this, and this is truth. No man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. Jesus said this, I'm not going to disagree with it, that a problem with man is they must understand in order to be saved. Would we agree with that? They must be drawn by the Father in order to be saved. That's a problem with man. Yes? All right, third. Man is only saved by the grace of God. You guys know Ephesians 2, 8, and 9, for by grace are you saved. We're not saved by works, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And I believe, okay, so I just listed three problems there that no one understands or seeks after God. To be saved, the Father must draw men. Man is only saved by the grace of God. This goes back to these questions. Do I believe that anyone dies without an understanding of the gospel? Does anyone die without rejecting Jesus Christ in a very conscious, specific way? I don't believe there is such a thing. I don't. You can't find one example in the Bible with that. In fact, Psalm 98 would suggest, even in Old Testament times, which I would agree that he's the same God, that all the ends of the earth heard of God's salvation. God's solution, let's see this. Jesus came that all might believe. John 1:7, it's the same came for witness. Verse 6 says, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for witness, to bear witness of the light, correctly, capital L, that all men through him might believe. Jesus came that all might believe. The Bible says that over and over and over again, that all might believe. Second, I want you to see this. Jesus gives understanding to all. John 1:9. That was the true light, speaking of Jesus, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. I've not met one Christian yet until after I explained it to him that understood what verse 9 meant. Not a one. Zero. I go, what does it mean when Jesus lights every man that comes into the world? I haven't met a Christian yet. Maybe some of you, if I had asked you, you'd have known. That same Greek word was translated enlighteneth in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 18. If I said enlightened, it'd be better in the 21st century. It's a good translation. I'm not saying that. That was the true light which enlighteneth every man that cometh into the world. Front row scholars, no prize. Give me a synonym. Do you know what a synonym is? You put it on toast, and I have, synonym toast. Now, that's cinnamon toast, not synonym toast. You know what a synonym is? Give me a synonym for enlightenment. Top secret here. Hang on just a second. Give light. Okay, great. Thank you. No, that's good. It's understanding. To be enlightened is to be given understanding. And who does the Bible say in John 1:9 he gives understanding to? That was the true light which lighteneth or enlighteneth every man that cometh into the world. Do you see the problem that no man understands or seeks God? That's Romans chapter 3, verse 11. Left to ourselves, we would never understand. We would be lost and justly damned. Do you understand this? But what God tells us is that he tells us that Jesus came that all might believe, that Jesus came and he lights every man. That leaves no one out. Gives understanding. And the understanding that I believe and I think I could prove in Scripture, he gives understanding of the gospel, which would be consistent with verse 7. If you want all men to believe, then you would give understanding to all men. Second problem we see is to be saved, the Father must draw all men. Well, Jesus spoke of that just later in John chapter 12, verse 32. He said, "And I, if I be lifted up from the earth," and what that meant was, when I am crucified, he said, I will draw all men, or all men, men is in italics, it's inferred in Greek. He says, if I be lifted up upon the earth, I will draw all men unto me. No exception. I want you to understand that when the Bible says that the salvation of God went to all the ends of the earth, I think it was without exception, every single individual, and he came that all might believe. He came and gave understanding to all. He came to draw all. And then the fourth one is God's grace that brings salvation hath appeared to all men. And it says this. First, you know, see the problem? Man is saved only by the grace of God. Here's what's interesting. Titus 2:11 says, "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men." That specific kind of grace, because there's different kinds of grace, that specific kind of grace is the grace that God brought to save souls. So I want to tell you what I believe is this. We ought to rejoice in the salvation of the Lord, Psalm 98, saved or lost. God has made the provision. God has promised to intervene. And now I go back to this. Do I believe there's anyone that dies without understanding? I do not. Otherwise, John 1:7 would not be true. Do I believe anyone dies without the Father drawing them? I do not. Otherwise, John 12:32 would not be true. Do I believe anyone dies without the grace of God that bringeth salvation appearing unto them? I do not. That's why lost people should rejoice, because God cares. Now, so I don't believe there's anybody that dies. Now, here's the dilemma. When Colossians 1:23 was written, Colossians 1:23 says, let me quote it exactly. Colossians 1:23 says, "The gospel which was preached to every creature which was under heaven." So I want to ask you this. The Western Hemisphere. All right, front row scholars, what hemisphere do we live in? Northern. We got Northern Hemisphere. What hemisphere do we live in? I'd like some other options from our front row. What hemisphere? Western Hemisphere. Oh, there you go. There you go. All right, Western Hemisphere. That's okay. Maybe it's the Northwestern Hemisphere. I'm not sure. But it's the Western Hemisphere. So I want you to know this. When Colossians 1:23 was written, were there missionary efforts to the Western Hemisphere that anybody knows of? Well, there wasn't. So you know, when I read these commentaries, they'll say, well, that's, you know, God didn't mean every creature. Of course he didn't mean every creature. Then why would God say every creature? You know why he said every creature? Because he meant every creature. And you know what you are? A creature. All right? And so it's every creature. And so I want you to understand this. So how did God get the gospel to the Western Hemisphere? I don't know. I do tell you this, that it's super interesting, that we'll finish with this. Turn to Revelation 14. Turn to Revelation chapter 14. My point is, we have much to rejoice over, do we not? That God has provided for our salvation if you're saved. That God has made commitments for the salvation so that all men might believe. And I want to tell you that if you ever hear that again, and we can have discussions, I'm happy to talk about it. I'm happy to talk about anything I've preached tonight. I don't believe there's anybody that dies without understanding. I don't. I can't find it in the Scriptures, and it violates Scriptures that the Lord clearly said. I just don't. And so now here's the argument. People will say, well, what about the unreached tribes? That's a term we made up. I do. We ought to send missionaries because God says to, and we ought to go, and we ought to delight in it. But I love this. God didn't put all his eggs in Steve Hall's basket. A lot of people going to hell. I can be used of the Lord, and it's a blessing, and it's a privilege, and I want to be involved in the work of the gospel and the spreading of the gospel, but I want to tell you this, God's so good. I don't know what all his means are, but look at Revelation chapter 14, verse 6 and 7. And he just says this, and I saw another angel fly in the midst of heaven. So just so you know, I've heard people say, these are preachers. I've never flown in the midst of heaven, just so you know. And they're like, airplanes. And I saw another angel fly in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach unto them that dwell on the earth, and to every nation, and kindred, and tongue, and people, saying with a loud voice, fear God and give glory to him, for the hour of his judgment has come, and worship him that made heaven and earth and the sea and the fountains of the waters. Even in end times, God has 144,000 Jews, 12,000 from each tribe, 144,000 men that have not defiled themselves with women. They're single, they're virgins, and they preach the gospel. Every single one of them will be beheaded for the gospel of Christ. That's Revelation chapter 20. You can go check that out, where they get beheaded. Revelation 7 is talking about the 144,000, whatever. It is God sends 144,000 Jewish people to share the gospel during the Great Tribulation. God sends the two witnesses, possibly Moses and Elijah, that'll both get their heads cut off. But here's what the Bible says. The Bible says that the whole world will see these witnesses, and all they're doing is proclaiming the gospel. People used to mock the Bible and go, how could the whole world see two guys on a street corner? You silly Christians. Well, that's before satellite TV. Well, now it's not too difficult, right? I'll tell you, you go to the poorest places in the world, and like, food for the hungry. Hang on, I got to look at this YouTube video. They have phones and can't eat. You think I'm kidding? I'm not kidding. I don't think there's any place in the world that doesn't have a phone. And so the cellular companies have done a better job than we have with the gospel. And what I will tell you is this. I go back to Psalm 98. I want to finish with this. And did I finish with this slide? I thought I did. Okay, give me that last slide. Okay, so I can back up. Got to back up a lot. Here we go. Psalm 98 said this, sing unto the Lord a new song, for he has done marvelous things. Is there any greater marvelous thing that God has done other provide for us that we might be made right with him, that we might be saved, that we might be forgiven of our sins? Is there any other marvelous thing, any other greater thing that God has done? And it talks about his right hand and his power and his strength. And I do want us to rejoice personally if you're saved. But I want you to rejoice of this. Your lost family members, God has provided for them as well. Doesn't mean they're going to be saved. God cares more than you do. God cares more than you do. You take the gospel, you pray, you love them, and you be thankful that your lost loved ones still have hope. The greatest hope this side of heaven is in the gospel, is in the marvelous work of Jesus Christ. He has all the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of the Lord. And you know what I believe? I believe this has been going on since Adam. It wasn't too difficult with Adam and Eve. He'd be like, hey, Eve, let me tell you what God told me today. And then Adam and Eve have a baby, and it's like, then they tell that baby. And then he reset it with Noah, and Noah would tell his sons and their wives and his wife and eight people. And when we fail, God doesn't. We ought to be thankful for salvation, thankful for the provision of God, thankful for what God has told us. I bring up some of these verses. I want you to know. Yeah. There's none that understandeth, none that seeketh God. That's why we love him. because He first loved us. Don Tillery, aren't you glad God's tenacious? Long time. I mean, you guys, you can't imagine how much older Don is than me. And God kept pursuing Don. And I know you all know this. Don, if you get the big head, I am the head popper. Okay? Y'all love Don. Don's been saved by the Lord. It's a credit and testimony to the Lord, is it not? Sing unto the Lord a new song. Sing unto the Lord all the earth. For your salvation and for the salvation of people that you think don't have a chance. Share the gospel. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation. Let's pray. Father, I thank You and praise You. I just love